This edition of the Generations Radio program originally aired in 2014. For additional shows on hundreds of topics, search our archives at generations.org.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today as we bring a biblical perspective to worldview and relationships. Friends, what the world needs is truth and relationships in a lost and lonely world. That's why we continually come back to relationships, parent-child relationships, sibling relationships in the home, marriage relationships. This is the basics of a Christian worldview, of Christian social view. This is really the basics of the Christian life. Relationships are essential. So today, we want to talk about mothers. On this edition of the program with Leslie Ludi, she's got a new book out called Set Apart Motherhood. And I enjoyed my first read of it a few weeks ago and thought we ought to get Leslie back on this radio program and talk about her new book. Leslie, welcome back to the program. It's good to have you with us again.
Great to be back. Thanks so much for having me.
And you have four children. You said two more on the way.
Right. We're in the process of adopting, so we have a couple toddlers that should be here in a few months from Haiti, so never a dull moment around the Ludi home.
I'm sure. And you're still writing books. You still have some time to write some books. Do you write books like I write books because it's fun? It's the fun
right.
thing you get to do.
It really is. I feel like it's just a great way to even process through the lessons I'm learning, the things God's teaching me. And this is actually my first book in about 7 years.
Is that right?
So I have taken a break for a while.
Okay.
But this one just kind of flowed out of everything I was learning. We had God gave us four children in 4 years. So we kind of went on a crash course, or I kind of went on a crash course of how do I do this motherhood thing in a way that brings glory to God? And so the book just flowed out of all the lessons I have been learning along this journey.
And you know, you can't come at it as an expert. You can't get a PhD in early child development and then
right.
have, you know, four kids in 4 years and just be the expert. It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
The Lord just throws you into the middle of it, and it's incredible.
Right.
It's humbling. And I was telling
yes.
you off air that, you know, as your children get older, you keep getting humbled. You just get humbled
right.
in different areas of your life, you know.
Right. I remember so clearly when our first son, he's 9 now, but when he was a baby, he was such a high needs baby, and he was our first child. And so for about 9 months after he was born, we did not get more than 20 or 30 minutes of sleep at a time. He just woke up all night long. He had acid reflux, you know, crying, screaming, and in pain. And we just thought, you know, we're going to lose it here. We just thought, how does anybody ever do this more than once? We had never felt so exhausted, so weak, had no solutions for what we were going through. At the time, we had, I think, a couple book deadlines, and it was just very stressful. And it was kind of a turning point in that process when we began to realize, you know, we don't have to do this on our own. God wants to give grace. He wants to give strength. And he actually wants to use these challenges that our kids bring into our lives to teach us about him and his ways and to grow us spiritually. So we started saying, okay, every time Hudson wakes us up in the middle of the night screaming, we're going to thank God for the opportunity. We're going to rejoice, give thanks, and say, God, teach us what you want to teach us. And it really transformed our perspective. I feel like we came out of that season spiritually stronger because we began to embrace the challenges as gifts from God, as opposed to saying, what just happened? We got hit by a bus. What are we going to do? And, you know, all along the way with all four of our kids and even through our new adoption, you know, kids just do. They bring challenges and things into your life that you can't prepare for any other way. But just by saying, God, I submit this area to you. What do you want to teach me? How do you want to use me and grow me through this experience?
Do you find yourself praying more now than ever before? Or is it
right.
just different prayer? How does your prayer life change?
That's such a great question, because I talk to so many moms. One of the things that I've always emphasized in my ministry to women, I have a ministry called Set Apart Girl, and I encourage young women in godly femininity. And I always emphasize the importance of prayer and cultivating an individual daily relationship with Christ, not just going through the motions of the Christian life or being a set apart godly woman, not just sort of following a formula, but having it flow out of a daily relationship with Christ. And a lot of young moms, a lot of the girls who have kind of grown up reading my books are now young moms, and they'll ask me, you know, how in the world do you make prayer a priority? How do you guard your time with Christ when you've got two or three or four little ones at home and they're constantly waking you up all night or they're needing your attention all the time? And I definitely understand the challenge of that. When we had four kids ages four and under, there were times when I thought, my relationship with God is going to have to go to the back burner. How in the world can I possibly find time for him? Mm-hmm. But I began to realize that, you know, the less practical prayer seems, that's when we need it the most. Mm-hmm. And so in that season ever since that season, I have said, okay, it doesn't matter what I need to give up, if I need to lose sleep, if I need to not turn on my computer for a few days, whatever I need to do, if I have to steal away while my kids are napping or go into the closet for a little while where I won't be interrupted, I have to make this a priority in my life. And yes, it does look different. You know, you can't always have a consistent early morning schedule when you've got really little ones at home, you've got a new baby or something. But to continue to say this is a priority, even with little ones, because that relationship with Christ, that's where you get the strength to live out godly motherhood or be a godly parent. You gain it from your relationship with him, and he fills you with his grace to face all those daily challenges. So yeah, I feel like I pray more now that I have children, because there are so many moments where I'm just crying out to God saying, I don't even know what to do in this situation. And yet I feel like it looks different than it did before we had kids. We just have to be a lot more purposeful about making it a priority and finding those times during the day when it can work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find myself praying almost all the time in between and in and around everything I do. You know, if I'm in bed, I'm praying when I'm not asleep. You know, I just fill every moment with prayer if something else isn't going on. I find myself doing that more now than ever before. And part of it is we're just faced with challenges in our home and ministry and such. And our children just need way more prayer now.
Right.
And I just feel like we need to be in prayer more. So,
yeah. And I think for moms, you know, a lot of times moms feel like, you know, I'm exhausted or I'm concerned or I'm worried or I'm anxious about struggles my kids are having, or I feel overwhelmed, I feel frazzled with all that's on my plate. And they think that it's tempting to think that the best reprieve or the best way to kind of feel better when you're overwhelmed and stressed is to have what is a very big trendy word right now in motherhood circles, is take me time, you know, have time for you, have some me time. And one of the things that I had to learn pretty early on with four kids, four and under, is the best kind of me time actually isn't really me time at all. It's God time.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
So I can gain so much more strength and clear perspective by spending an hour in the Word of God and praying and journaling and really asking for God's wisdom than I can just surfing the internet or, you know, watching, you know, engaged in some kind of entertainment or media. So a lot of times we as women are tempted to turn to those things, social media and browsing Pinterest and getting on Facebook and doing those more temporal, trivial things kind of to distract us from the stress or the feeling of being overwhelmed. And yet it doesn't bring lasting peace. It might bring a temporary distraction, but the only thing that brings lasting peace is time with God and casting your cares at his feet. This is one of the most important things I've learned about godly motherhood, is I can't turn to those temporary distractions to find the peace that only God can give me.
Is that why so many moms seem so frazzled, defeated, just sort of getting by? You speak of that in the book. Is that it? Is it just they're more Martha than Mary?
Yes. I think there's such a pressure that moms feel. There's two kind of cultural lies that the women that I talk to are dealing with. And one is, you know, this sort of feeling of needing to be perfect. And, you know, there's the kind of this Pinterest perfect world out there. You know, if everything isn't exactly like Martha Stewart, then I'm not being a good mom. And so they carry around this pressure. And The other lie is, well, motherhood always will be chaos. If you have young children, you know, don't even bother to clean your house because it's just going to get messy again in 5 minutes. So you kind of have this pendulum swing from the mom who feels this unrealistic pressure on her shoulders and tries to rise up to that, to the mom who's kind of given up even having any kind of order to her life. And really the answer to both extremes is found at the feet of Jesus. It's not about his perfection. It's about leaning upon him and going to his word and living out your motherhood according to his pattern, one situation at a time, that makes you truly a set apart mother. It's not about, your perfection. It's about his perfection and who's your guide, who's the one that you're submitted to and leaning upon. But I do think a lot of moms fill their lives, and I certainly have been guilty of this too, but we fill our lives with more than we should, and we crowd out what's really important, and we stick a lot of seemingly urgent things in, but there are things that often really don't have much eternal value.
Now, many women today view parenthood as a way to enhance their lives and bring about happiness. That's something you say in the book. Why is that view making it rough on moms out there?
Yeah. The culture that we live in really promotes the idea, you know, motherhood is all about you. This is a season to really focus on you, or the reason you would have kids is to kind of enhance your life. I talk to a lot of young moms that before they have kids, they're envisioning, you know, how they want to dress their kids and maybe Gap clothes and decorate the nursery and, you know, with these new trends that they're seeing on Pinterest. And they think about like the fun and exciting part of having a child, but they don't really prepare for the sacrifice that comes with when you raise your children as an act of service to God and you do it for his glory and not just for your own happiness or just to enhance your own life, you find this greater strength and joy because all of the challenges and trials that you go through as a mom, you're doing it for something bigger than just yourself. Whereas when you have a selfish perspective towards being a mom, then you become a little disillusioned when things get rough or when having kids kind of invades your personal freedom and causes you to have to give up a lot of, you know, the things you were able to do before you had kids. It's very easy to resent that when you're going into it for selfish reasons. Yeah. But when you're going into it saying, God, I'm submitting this area of my life to you, and I want this to be something that I do to please you and to bring glory to you and to raise these children up for your kingdom, not just to bring happiness to my own life, it just changes your perspective completely. And this is something I've had to constantly go back to as a mom, to say, you know, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. If I'm doing it for my own comfort and my own happiness, then I'm going to get burned out really quickly. But if I'm doing it for Christ, then I will have an extra measure of grace because he will equip me for what he calls me to.
And it turns out that everything Jesus said in the Gospels was exactly right. And you discover that the life that he wants you to live is exactly the life you're living in your household. Right. And if you give up your life, you'll save it. But it's just counterintuitive until you get into the situation. Oh, this is what Jesus was talking about.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And children bring in so many opportunities to give up your life and to surrender your life
right.
to God.
Right.
We've just, with our four kids, I remember a moment where, you know, we had four children, four and under. We had the oldest one, you know, within the space of an hour, we had one, you know, spill a bottle of red paint on carpet. We had another one, you know, throwing up on the in the downstairs and just all sorts of chaos, with accidents happening and couldn't find diapers when diapers were needed. And just one of those moments where you kind of want to sit down and cry, but to just say, okay, God, I am going to say, I'm going to surrender to you in this moment and trust you for the strength to have a joyful attitude, even when things are difficult. And that's how I'm going to model the Christian attitude to my children, even in those moments, because kids watch everything that we do and they learn how to interact with God through watching how we respond to those kinds of situations. And so just to realize that every single moment, as your children observe you, it's a discipleship moment. Even if you're not, you know, sitting down and teaching them about God, you're still modeling how a Christian is to act in every situation. And so, you know, the only way to do that in a way that is God honoring is to say, Lord, I cannot do this in my own strength. I have to have your strength. I have to have your enabling grace, because, you know, you never really get a break as a parent, as a mom. You never, it's like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, our own human strength will run out after a period of time, but his strength never does.
Leslie, how have you developed in the area of Christian parenting, say, from your parents' generation or our parents' generation? You don't need to speak directly to your parents, but how have we learned some things, and how are we developing, do you think, in our generation as we learn to parent as Christ would have us parent?
Yeah. Well, I think it's exciting to see sort of a new generation of Christian parents being raised up who really understand that the primary responsibility for leading a child to Christ and discipling a child comes from, it's centered in the home.
Okay.
And it's primarily the role of the parent.
Right.
And I think, you know, in my parents' generation, I came from a strong Christian home and had wonderful Christian parents, but the mindset was very much, you know, get them into a good Sunday school, get them into a good youth group, get them into, you know, good Christian school. It's just looking for those other people who can disciple my kids, and I'll reinforce that at home.
Mm-hmm.
And now God seems to be raising up a generation of parents who say, primarily, I'm the one who's called to disciple my children. Mm-hmm. Those other things can be an accent to what I'm called to do, but primarily it's my responsibility. And I have a chapter in the book called Sharing, How to Share the Gospel with Your Children,
mm-hmm.
tending to their souls, not just looking at the, you know, the character training, you know, teaching your children not to lie and not to steal and to have good manners, but to get to their souls and to say, how do I lead them to Jesus Christ and teach them what it means to really be a Christian and have a relationship with the King of all Kings, a personal daily relationship, so that all of the godly character training that we're investing into them comes out of a motive where they truly love Christ and they want to please him and they have a personal relationship with him. And that's just so key, because I think as much as godly character training is very important, and I do talk about that in the book, getting to the souls of your children and leading them to the gospel and building, helping them cultivate a personal relationship with Christ is the foundation
mm-hmm.
that they need. You know, there's been all sorts of studies that have shown Christian young people so often will leave the church and they'll leave the Christian faith when they graduate from college or when they graduate from high school. And a lot of times they grew up in great Christian homes, but their parents didn't truly disciple them in the Christian
mm-hmm.
faith. They didn't truly lead them into a relationship with Christ. They might have taught them some good moral principles and some good character, you know, character principles, but they never really encountered Jesus Christ in a personal way that transformed them from the inside out. And so I think in our generation of parents, a whole new generation of parents has been raised up that has said, we want our children to go the distance. We want their faith to be lasting. We want them to have a meaningful, personal, daily relationship with Christ. And we realize that we're the primary ones that God has entrusted that responsibility with.
And we pattern it for them. When they're close enough to us to see us, they're going to see our sin. They're going to see who we really are. And they're going to see if we really need Christ. They're going to see us need Christ. They're going to see us cry out for Christ. They're going to see us depend on Christ. They're going to see our faith as well as our sin. They'll see our repentance as well as our sinful tendencies. And that's a good thing.
Yes, absolutely. I think probably one of the most impacting things that our children have said is when they see mommy and daddy, you know, ask forgiveness for, you know, reacting wrongly in a situation. If one of us says or does something in a tone that's not honoring, or we overreact to a situation, to come back and say, you know, will you please forgive mommy or daddy for that attitude that was wrong? That wasn't pleasing to God. And that makes such an impression on them to see that humility, and it gives them an example. They are much more quick to repent when they get off track, when they see us modeling that for them. And so I think it's extremely important that parents showcase that kind of quickness to admit that you're wrong, quickness to repent, quickness to ask for the grace of God to walk in a way that's you know, honoring to his pattern. Mm-hmm. So yes, I think it is so humbling, like you said earlier, because I noticed that, you know, sometimes if I use an impatient tone of voice, my 5-year-old will start using an impatient tone of voice with everyone around her. Mm-hmm. And it's just startling to say, wow, she got that from me. That's not so good. Mm-hmm. And so to sit down and say, okay, that was wrong. I, you know, repent of that. Will you forgive me for allowing that to happen? And then I can work on those things in her life as well. But, you know, if we're not staying, as parents, if we're not staying on our knees and keeping our hearts right with God, then we're not going to do a very good job discipling our children.
You talk about motherhood joy in the book. Tell us a little bit about how that expresses itself in the home. Joy. You know, you wake up in the grumpy mood, right? It's not like that. Right. That never happens.
Right.
How does joy morph out of motherhood?
Yeah. Yes. I think it is so easy, especially, you know, for those of us who have those strong convictions that we are to be the primary disciples of our children, and a lot of us that are homeschoolers, it's very easy to get caught up in the discipline and the logistics and the schedule and, you know, helping your home flow smoothly and keeping a routine and making sure your children, you know, have the right attitudes and making sure they're excelling in their education. And, you know, the list just goes on and on of how to all the things that we have to manage. And it's so tempting and so easy to lose sight of the amazing ability to delight in our kids that God has given us and laugh at our kids, nurture our kids. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that Eric and I have started as a little tradition every night is as we're getting ready for bed, he'll say, you know, what funny things were the kids saying or doing today, you know, and that's not a time to talk about discipline issues or talk about problems or things that we're concerned about. It's just a time to appreciate all the funny, you know, God has this built-in laughter therapy. I think especially when your kids are young, you know, our kids are all still really young, but for young moms especially, they say hilarious things. They do such funny things, and they're so precious when they're young like that. And so to take that time to delight in them and to remember the funny things that they say and do. So Eric and I will have that time every night where we just talk about funny things or meaningful things that happened with our kids that day. And it just helps us focus on just the delight and the gifts that children really are.
We have brought
and not just get so caught up in the discipline and the concerns and the problems.
We have brought some of that into the language of the home. For example, my little boy used to say, "Daddy, let's play fuff," meaning let's play rough, you know, let's wrestle. And he said, "Let's play fuff." And so we still say that, you know,
that's
like 20 years later, we're still playing fuff, you know. In other words, we're still endearing these things about our children to ourselves and to each other. And it just becomes kind of the fun part of the home.
Yes. And looking for ways to just build relationship with your kids every day or at least every week. You know, there are those functional things we have to do every day, and we have to train them and teach them. But at the same time, to build relationships with them and nurture them and build those memories with them. So just things like, you know, going out and throwing rocks into the lake or going out for ice cream or just having little traditions and things that they look forward to, that simply just to build memories and to let them know that we love them and we delight in having them in our home. And when you have a lot of kids, that can be a challenge. So Eric and I have had to look for ways to do that creatively and say, okay, one day a week, you know, one of us will take one of our children out for a special outing. Or if it's a family thing, you know, looking for things that the whole family can do together that's simple and affordable. And yet just taking an hour, you know, every couple of days to go do something, walk in the woods or walk around the lake or throwing rocks in the lake or going to an ice cream shop can just add that kind of family closeness and memory making. And it helps bring out that joy, because God says in his word that he makes the barren woman to be a joyful mother of children. And so it's actually a biblical principle that children are to bring joy into a mother's life. And a lot of it depends on what you choose to focus on. And if you choose to appreciate the delight that kids really can be. Hmm.
Leslie, how can we encourage young moms out there? Perhaps they're underwater, they're feeling a little frazzled around the edges. How can we encourage them? How can the church body encourage?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of times moms feel frazzled because they feel overwhelmed in different areas of their life. And a lot of times they're trying to take on too much. And I think the body of Christ is so important, especially with moms of young children. And this book, Set Apart Motherhood, is really geared towards moms of young children. And one of the things that I say in the book is don't try to do everything by yourself. You look for the areas that overwhelm you, whether it's laundry or it's meal planning or whatever it is in the home that is overwhelming to you. And look at the people that God has put in your life. It may be your husband who's perfectly willing to help you if you just simply, you know, let him know what your needs are and ask him and invite him into that area. Or it could be, you know, your mom or sister that lives nearby that would be happy to help. Or maybe it's, you know, trading babysitting with a friend of yours or meal planning together, doing things like that with the body of Christ that he's built into your life and not trying to tackle everything on your own. I think for a frazzled, overwhelmed mom, first of all, to understand that the answer lies in going to your relationship with Christ. It doesn't, you know, it's so tempting, like I said earlier, to look at that, oh, I just need more me time, or I just need more of this in my life, right. I just need more time alone, or those things can all be fine to have time alone or to do practical things to be refreshed. But really, if you're letting your relationship with Christ fall by the wayside, then you probably will always feel overwhelmed and frazzled. When you put Jesus Christ in his rightful place and you build him into your life, and it might look different. You may not be able to have your 5 a.m., 1 hour a day of prayer every day, but you make that a priority. That just goes such a long way to give you a peace that you cannot gain any other way. You can't gain it through, you know, time on Facebook. You can't gain it through self-help books. You can only gain it by spending time with him and growing in your relationship with him. So the two things I would really encourage a frazzled young mom is, first of all, to not be afraid to ask for help, to look at the people that God has put in your life and to say, how can the body of Christ come around me and help me in areas that I may feel overwhelmed? And secondly, how can I keep my relationship with Christ important, you know, a high priority in my life, even if I need to spend, you know, less time doing things that I would like to be doing, or I need to, you know, ask my husband to have the kids for a regular period of time every day or every week so that I can go and cultivate my relationship with Christ, because that is truly what is going to bring clear perspective and wisdom and strength and all of the things that we long for when we're raising young kids.
Very good. Leslie Luty's new book, Set Apart Motherhood, recommended on this radio program. And folks, you can get it online just about anywhere. Set Apart Motherhood by Leslie Luty. She's also got a conference coming up here in September. Leslie, you want to share on that real quick?
Yes, the conference, actually, we changed our date, so it's now in October, okay. October 24th and 25th, and it's in Windsor, Colorado. My husband and I have a training school and a church there. So if you go to setapartmotherhood.com, that's my website, and there's no dashes, so it's just all one word, setapartmotherhood.com. There are weekly articles. I have a motherhood blog on there, just ongoing encouragement for you if you desire to bring Christ into the center of your mothering and lean on him for the strength that you need. And what does that look like practically? That is a great resource. And then on that website, you can find out about the event. And if you can't make it to Colorado, you can't make it to Windsor, Colorado, you can also host a simulcast of the event in your own home or at your church. And those are available for 3 weeks after the event date. So October 24th and 25th, and it's called the Set Apart Motherhood Retreat.
Very good. Leslie Luty and setapartmotherhood.com. Thanks, Leslie. Appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.